There's only about 300 of them.
There's some here.
Morning, everyone. And I know we have to do a new roll call, Director. Is that something we need to do verbally, or how does that work?
No, sir. We can do that after the pledge. When I do the presentation, I'll just announce who's absent.
No.
Okay, thank you. Then maybe I could get Matt to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
If you'd all rise.
I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I haven't read it. Have you? I see we all have letters here, too. We'll have to get to those at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure it's good news.
Yes, it's always.
Those can actually wait until after the meeting, but since they were mailed to us, we wanted to make sure they were delivered.
So. Thank you very much. And Director?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Jack Lang, your executive director, in attendance today. Everybody is in attendance except for we do have two absences, Chief Larry Hall from Buckeye Police Department and Mr. Richard Wooten, our civilian or public member, board member. And then we also have, obviously, the two vacancies. The one is the jail administrator, and the other is our public member that have yet to be filled by the governor's office. And with that, I'd actually like to take the chance now to introduce our two newest appointed members of the board. Maybe start out with Matt Medina. Matt's coming on his 12th year with the Prescott Police Department, and he was just appointed by the governor's office, and we had a chance to meet about a week ago. And Matt, would you like to say anything to the board? Or?
Well, not much on words. Father of two, 24-year-old daughter. I have a 19-year-old boy. Married 26 years, and it's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for your service. And then our other newest appointed member from the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department is Chris Pittman, a 20-plus year veteran of the agency. And we welcome you to the board. And if there's something you'd like to say, Chris.
Well, I'll keep it short, but thank you. And honored to serve with this board, and I look forward to many years with you.
Great. And with that, Mr. John Tellier will be our Assistant Attorney General that will be providing legal advice, if necessary, to the board on the final action cases would be 18-048 Manuel Espinoza, case number 15-160 Gonzalo Mata Jr., case 17-089 Ronnie Crow, and case 18-044 Sean Cruz. And with that, we do have some presentations we'd like to make. We have some departing board members, our jail administrator, who's now the chief deputy of Pima County Sheriff's Department, obviously Sergeant Leo Aparicio, and Sergeant Chris Andriacola. So, Mr. Chairman, if you wouldn't mind stepping down, I'd actually like to have you do these presentations.
Absolutely.
Sergeant Aparicio.
Appreciate your service. It's been a pleasure working with you. I know what the board does is very critical for all of us. The hiring service and representing your agency did an outstanding job. Appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you. It's been an honor to serve with you guys. I appreciate it. It's definitely been a privilege for me to be up here. And I just want to take a moment to recognize the staff. You guys are amazing. I appreciate what you do and all that for you put into the case. So it's truly been an honor. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Sergeant Andrew Cole, if we could get you to come up, please.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I did a
Thank you very much. A very good voice of reason. And appreciate your service. It was, you represented your agency fantastic, and you're someone who I listen to a lot of what you have to say when we get into our discussions, our debates. Very common sense, matter of fact, and thank you very much for your service. Really appreciate it.
So during the meeting, if I say anything, I'm
no call to the public. Yeah, so if we get Chief Deputy Byron Watney come up, please. Congratulations on your promotion.
Thank you.
There you go, Byron. Thank you very much.
Thank you to everybody. It's been an absolute honor for this opportunity to serve with you and Sandy and the rest of the staff. Thank you very much. So I'm glad I was able to be part of something great. So thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Bye.
And we have one last presentation. If I could get Cheryl Holliday to please step up here.
Oh, shocker.
Am I leaving? What's this for?
Cheryl, this is your 35-year
Wow.
35 years of service to the state. And,
thank you.
And I delivered here yesterday for it. So we want to make sure this is an appropriate place to get that to.
Thank you. Especially from you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. We do have a... Pardon me. We do have another presentation. And, this... I've known Jack from the 1980s. I think I first met you at Alita, probably mid-80s. I don't remember what it was, but Jack was always someone that I looked up to. I think at that time he may have been a sergeant. I don't remember, but throughout your career with DPS, which I believe is about 35 years, a little over 35 years, I worked on and off with Jack that whole time. And whether it was officer-involved shootings, whether it was homicide scenes, crime lab issues, search and rescue with the helicopters, we had a lot of time together over those 35 years on very difficult, complex cases. And you were always someone I looked up to throughout those times as being very professional in what you did with the state and with DPS, and for the whole state. I mean, you've had an incredible career with DPS, a very honorable career, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who looked up to you for what you did for your agency and for the state of Arizona. And then the last 5 years or so here at Arizona Post, it's been a real pleasure working with you here, because this board has a very critical function in the state of Arizona to maintain our training for law enforcement, to maintain our integrity with the police officer standards, and you are just a huge part of that, and your leadership has brought us a long way with that. So. I could keep going, but what I want to say, and this is from me to you, thank you. Thank you for being someone that I was able to follow up through law enforcement career and now work with you again at ASCO. So I didn't get you the stinky little plaque, but...
that's the smallest one they could find.
Yeah, I don't think you could get much smaller.
Sheriff, you want your glasses? You want your glasses?
Oh, thank you.
We're on a budget.
State's in trouble here.
And then it's Jack Ray, Executive Director at Retirement.
visit any time, but remember to check in with the reception.
That one you can even keep in your pocket.
Of course, that's just a joke.
I do think
it's a little more adequate of a class. And again, this is an appreciation for years of service here with Aspost, and thank you very, very much. You earned it. You deserve it. We're going to miss you. You've done a fantastic job, and it's appreciated. So, Jack, thank you very much. Fitting. You know, this day and age in law enforcement, it's a little more difficult for us to even get our 20 years in. But to get 40 years in is amazing. And this pin represents that 40 years of service. And again, you earned every year of it. You've been an outstanding law enforcement executive leader, and it's appreciated. Thank you, Jack. Thank you very, very much.
We thought this meeting was going to go bad. I didn't tell you, first to the board, it's absolutely been an honor and privilege to serve for the last 5 years and be a part of law enforcement for 40, a little over 40 years, and be a part of the changes and stuff. And I come from a long line of law enforcement and the family and fifth generation Arizonan, and I really care about this state and the policing that we do in this state. And I think any of you that know me well enough know that that's, I really have that deep in my heart about this and how important this board is. I won't probably ever get a chance to get a public member for some reason, probably, but I always thought, man, what an honor to be able to serve on this board and serve this state and do the work you do here. Staff, man, it's been great. It's been awesome to work for. What a great relationship. I won't miss the drive-in. But I will miss the camaraderie of getting to work with all of you. It's just been an absolute honor and privilege to be able to be a part of that. Many of us have been in law enforcement together and for many years and been associated together, and you've moved on to bigger and better things, and you do some marvelous work here and important work. And we all know the importance of making sure, especially on the misconduct cases, the importance of making sure that no matter what the accusation, that we show due diligence in making sure that the rights and the wrongs are pointed out and to make sure that everybody gets all those, that information factually. So that's probably some of the most important work. The training staff, just awesome, putting on the various training throughout the year. Marie and the basic training with her and Cindy, they got their hands full of all the testing and the new academies opening and all the support from our system. I know I'm leaving it in good hands with Matt Giordano. He's going to be an awesome member. I've got an old friend here, Dan Baker, and I've known each other for, we used to be neighbors back when I had horse property out in Apache Junction, and known each other for over 20 years, and I really appreciate you coming. Dan means a lot to me. So with that, we probably ought to get on with the board meeting.
Thank you very much, Jack.
I just have one comment.
Yes, please.
You know, Jack, I just want to say this because I think it needs to be said. When you took over as the lead for this board, it was time for a change, for a fresh look, and then for all of us really in leadership in law enforcement. We've always looked at you as kind of the statesman for law enforcement. You always held yourself to a high level in presentation. Even today, you should have been a senator, I think, because you have that senator look. But we really just appreciate what you've done over the last number of years as the leadership for the Arizona Peace Officer Standard and Training Board. And what you've done in such a short period of time is remarkable. And you've left it in a really good place for Matt. But just from myself personally and really from us, we put you in this position because We believed in you, and you've absolutely impressed everybody here with what you've done. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Director.
Thank you. Well said. All right.
All right.
We'll move on. I believe we're on the Executive Director's report.
I believe so, Mr. Chairman. And just a budget update. 2 weeks ago, Lynn Perkle and I met with our budget analyst from the Office of Strategic Planning and Budgeting from the Governor's Office. Ben Blink is his name. He's a new analyst this year, so we're getting him up the speed on things, and he's asked us on some data and stuff that we're going to get back to him so he can make sure that gets that information to the OSPB on our request for that $2.5 million to assess this next fiscal year for 2020. So that meeting seemed to go quite well. As far as communications with law enforcement association groups, tomorrow Matt and I will be attending the West Valley Chiefs meeting, and so obviously we'll be keeping those type of attendances going. And legislative update, there's nothing to report other than the fact that we sent in the paperwork yesterday that takes me off as the designated public lobbyist and named Matt as the new designated public lobbyist. And it was hard to get him to sign that paperwork. He'll be obviously representing the agency well. And with that, sir, if you'd like to go on to the consent agenda.
Yes. I think you've all had a chance to look at and review the consent agenda. If there's no questions, comments, discussion, I'd ask for a motion for approval of the consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the items as presented on the consent agenda under agenda item D1.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion on this motion? None being, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And
Chairman, if we just make clear on the record the maker of the motion and the second?
Yes. Would those making the motion please identify?
Andy LaFever made the motion.
Helen Rodbell made the second.
Thank you very much. And the motion carried. And we will be moving into the petition. Seth, Mr. Hargraves.
Thank you, Chairman Masher, members of the board. Seth Hargraves, Assistant Attorney General. Before you, you have a request from the Buckeye Police Department asking that newly appointed Lieutenant Legal Advisor Michael Saltz be granted restricted peace officer certification due to a recent injury. This petition meets the requirements as soon as Mr. Saltz is back up to speed, recovering from his injury, and can meet standards, then the restriction would be lifted. So we'd ask that the board accept and grant him the restricted peace officer certification.
Thank you, Mr. Hargraves. Were we going to hear from anyone else on this, or I thought I saw?
Mr. Saltz is here, but I don't believe he was intending to address the board. You do have a letter from the chief.
Okay, thank you. Any comments, questions? Having none, may I ask for a motion, please?
I'll make a motion to accept the petition for restricted peace officer certification on behalf of Lieutenant Vitor Michael Saltz.
Who are you?
Oh, Mark Allen. Sorry.
Alan Rodwell seconds.
I have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And against? The motion carries. And we will be moving into final action cases. Case number 18048. Mr. Hargraves?
Yes, thank you. This case involves Manuel Espinoza. Since he is the petitioner, I'm not sure if he's present or not. If so, I'd ask him to step forward. Mr. Espinoza has filed a motion for rehearing or review with this board. In April of this year, the board voted to initiate proceedings for denial. The allegations at that time were that Mr. Espinoza was disqualified from the Border Patrol in 2012 because of his drug use, that in February of 2013 he had applied to the Tucson Police Department and on his application indicated he had no prior drug use. He reapplied in December of 2014. At that time he disclosed three uses, which was later amended up to 20 uses. He was sent, after the board initiated proceedings, he was sent a notice of denial on April 23rd, 2018. The notice informed him of his right to request a hearing. He received that notice on May 8th, 2018, and he failed to request a hearing. Thereafter, on August of this year, the board adopted the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and voted to deny certification. He has since filed his motion asking the board to reconsider the decision to deny him. In his request, he has tried to explain his inconsistent disclosures, but he also admitted that he purposely lied on the 2013 application in order to, so that he could get hired. Under the board's regulations, Arizona Administrative Code R13-4-118F, it sets forth the grounds for which someone may be granted rehearing or review. Mr. Espinosa's request does not meet any of those. In fact, it doesn't really specify any of the grounds that would support the board taking such action. So it asks that the board deny said motion. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions, comments? And I missed it. Was Mr. Espinosa here?
Don't believe so, no.
Okay. With no questions, comments, may I have a motion, please?
I'll make a motion to deny the motion for rehearing or review. Mark Allen's again. Sorry.
Chuck Ryan, second.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Against? And the motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Hargraves. We'll move on to the next 15160.
This case involves Gonzalo Mata, a former officer with the Kearney Police Department. This is another request for rehearing. I believe he's here, so I'll allow him, since it's his motion, allow him to address you first.
Okay. Mr. Mata, good morning, sir. If you would limit it to 10 minutes or less, I'd sure appreciate it.
Okay. So I just wanted to let you guys know I'm really nervous. I apologize. And all right. Do you guys mind if I approach the board for a second?
I think you can do it from right there.
Well, actually, I think it might be something I'd like to kind of show you a little bit close, and I don't think your eyes would be able to catch it. Is that okay?
No, I don't think so.
That's can I have one of you guys come over here?
No, that's kind of not normal or...
Well, I wanted to show you guys a text message that was sent, and unfortunately, you won't be able to see it from that distance.
That why don't you read it to us? Or, well, because officer, if you don't mind, maybe he can bring it up here to us real quick.
You know
but
I can do is I can just have it for him. And have you
would you look, want me to bring it up to you?
I'll just show you.
Seems really weird. You can bring it up here once he pulls it up. Yeah, or the officer Ken there.
Trooper.
I'm sorry.
That's right. Just making sure we're clear.
There is.
I was trying to show you how an autocorrect text message occurred. Basically, right. I just wanted to just walk
you've
up.
You've got about 5 minutes left. If you would like to explain the reason for...
Okay. So, members of the board, this situation took place when I was driving to California. What ended up happening is I ended up sending my wife a text message at the time we were going through a divorce, that a text message said, I'm going to kill you. As a matter of fact, the text message was actually autocorrect from K-A-L-L space Y-O-U. That event took place while driving to California at the time. That text message took place at 12:43 a.m. and at 12:47 a.m. we had a 14-minute conversation. According to the administrative law judge's findings on Section 21, she basically concluded that I apparently lied to investigators about going to California and that I never went to California. Well, that's not accurate. As a matter of fact, this credit card statement would show that I was in California and I did go. Now, again, I'm not an attorney, so, again, I'm trying to present this the best that I could. There were also a lot of different findings that were taking place as well. As a matter of fact, there was some memo of understanding, apparently, from my department where they apparently said not to talk to my ex-wife. I've never heard of an agency that can tell you to talk to your ex-wife, especially since during that time I had a complaint against the chief of police at the time. As a matter of fact, even my wife was the one that actually called me and informed me that this dude tried to say that I assaulted a dispatcher. I ended up having a meeting with that guy where I refused to speak to him under the directive of the town manager, the town attorney, and HR. Nobody contacted HR. Nobody contacted the town manager. Nobody contacted the town attorney. As a matter of fact, this information was given to your compliance specialist. Never brought it up. So there's a lot of things that I believe were done incorrectly, or I believe that were not presented to the judge correctly, and what I would like to do is ask you to reinvestigate this case and be able to open this back to a different specialist.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hargrave.
Thank you. Seth Hargraves, Assistant Attorney General. There's just one preliminary matter. Mr. Mata's certification lapsed on September 21st of this year, after the board had previously voted to revoke. I'm not quite sure if there's still jurisdiction here given the status of the lapse, and I don't know if Mr. Talier want to address that, but if there's no jurisdiction, there's really nothing to do further. If you continue to have jurisdiction, I'd be happy to go through the response here. But do you want me to proceed, or do you want to get a ruling on the jurisdiction?
Well, we don't have jurisdiction because of the lapse. I don't think there's any need to proceed, but I think we have to have an opinion as to whether we have that jurisdiction or not.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, because the certificate has lapsed, you no longer have jurisdiction.
If we no longer have jurisdiction, then there's
nothing. Well, the thing is this, too, is that I requested a hearing a year ago, and it took these guys a year to give me one.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your but we have no jurisdiction. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Okay. All right, we're going to move on to the next case, 17089. Mr. Hargraves?
Yes, thank you. This is a case involving Manuel Espinoza, formerly of the Pima County Sheriff's Department. This matter is actually – wait, I apologize. This case involves Ronnie Crow, case number 17-089, formerly with the San Carlos Tribal Police Department. This case is before you for the first time. After the apparently Mr. Crow was involved in an extramarital affair with a member of the tribal court. He self-disclosed that conduct to his supervisor and admitted to having had sex on duty on multiple occasions and resigned his job. This board was notified of the resignation, the termination. Case was opened. Prior to it coming to the board, Mr. Crow had approached staff about a resolution. In front of you, you have a consent agreement for an 18-month suspension. That suspension is pretty much consistent with past actions of sex on duty where there's been no dishonesty or other conduct. A lot of times the suspension would be for 1 year. This is a little bit longer. My understanding from staff is the kind of the standard is 6 months per incident. So we'd ask the board to consider accepting the consent agreement for an 18-month suspension of certification from May 16th, 2017 through November 16th, 2018. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions, comments? Having none, may I have a motion, please?
Frank Olstead, I think we should accept the consent agreement decision and order and allow for an 18-month separation from his peace officer certification from May 16, 2017 to November 16, 2018.
Al Rodwell seconds.
A motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Mr. Hargraves, moving on to 18044.
It's a case involving Sean Cruz, formerly with the Gilbert Police Department. Again, this is another case that's coming to you for the first time. Former Officer Cruz converted an on-duty conduct contact, Ms. A.W., into a personal and sexual relationship. He accessed criminal history information on a couple different occasions without a valid law enforcement purpose and shared that information with Ms. A.W. Prior to the board initiating, was contacted by counsel for Mr. Cruz. Before you, you have a consent agreement for a 3-year lapse suspension. The running from the time period of December 19th, 2017 through December 20th, 2020. Again, this is past board discipline regarding this type of conduct has ranged from a 3-year lapse to voluntary relinquishment or revocation. Sometimes it involves someone who's been in the academy. It would be agency discretion. However, the 3-year lapse is consistent with past action, and we'd ask the board to accept this consent agreement to resolve the case. Mr. Cruz's attorney is here. I don't know if he wants to address you or just be available for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hargraves. Is there someone here who'd like to speak? Morning, sir.
Steve Cervalek for Sean Cruz, and the answer is no, unless the board has questions. We've worked with staff on this agreement. It makes a lot of sense for all parties, so thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions, comments? Having none, we have a motion, please.
Tom Rogo will make a motion to accept the consent agreement decision order directing a 3-year suspension and certification beginning December 19, 2017, ending December 20, 2020, which time the Arizona Peace Service Officer certification shall lapse.
Mark Daniel, second.
A motion and a second. Further discussion on the motion? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I just need a question. I need to understand a little bit better what it means by lapsing.
Okay. Mr. Hargraves?
The individual lapse, the lapse is they're no longer certified by this board. A suspension to lapse allows them to continue to be a peace officer in the future, provided he meets additional requirements to get recertified. A voluntary relinquishment or revocation prevents them from ever being a certified peace officer in the state in the future. Suspension to lapse would allow that to potentially occur again.
Mr. Chairman, I just have some concerns because the original write-up on this would indicate that the defendant possibly committed a felony. I know that it was not submitted for prosecution. I don't know exactly why that was or if that's generally happens in these situations. That conduct really concerns me.
Just very quickly, and without getting into the merits, because it would be inappropriate at an early stage, there's mitigating issues related to the investigation that were presented to post through counsel, which is where, I mean, obviously there's, I'm not always here for voluntary agreements at this point. We worked with staff. I can't get into the details because that's unfair to the process. Suffice it to say that the people that did the initial evaluation, he was not charged, he was not convicted of a felony. The facts that are submitted as part of an agreement are obviously unchallenged by the nature of it, but you see in the agreement it says that if this were rejected by the board, it would go to a full hearing. All of the mitigation stuff would be in the record. Suffice it to say that all of the different authorities that reviewed this agreed that charges were not appropriate at this point and that a slightly mitigated, basically punishment from the board would be appropriate. And I'll tell you, I'll represent that my client is actually not working in law enforcement right now, but he's in a position where he's got a paramedical license. He worked as a medic in the military. He's got a security clearance. This is essentially a way for him to be able to move on without potentially ending his other professional pursuits. That was why one of the reasons that we pursued this and why staff worked with us. That answers the question to the degree that I can without inappropriately getting into merits.
Any other comments, questions? Okay. I don't think we've had a motion.
Yes.
We did. A motion and a second. Any other discussion on that? Comments? Having none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
And the motion carries.
Paul Ehler, no.
Paul Ehler, no. Thank you, sir. And we will be moving in.
I'm sorry, Mark.
Oh, okay. Let it note that Mark stepped out. We're going to get into the new cases. Mr. Caldwell, good morning, sir. We're on 17-151.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Billy Caldwell, one of your compliance specialists. This case involved Sergeant Corvello, formerly of the Mason Police Department. After Sergeant Corvello resigned from Mesa PD, the agency provided reports documenting four different incidents he had been involved in. These incidents occurred between December 2016 and the summer of 2017. The first incident was on February 4, 2017, when Sergeant Corvello yelled obscenities and curse words at his neighbors during a dispute. He was on the street in the neighborhood, or I'm sorry, he was on the street in his neighborhood, sitting on an all-terrain vehicle at the time. Mesa PD viewed a recording of the incident taken by a neighbor and sustained an allegation against him relating to disorderly conduct. The words he used were very explicit and could be plainly heard on the recording. If you look in your overview, I've listed the words that he actually used during that incident. The second incident occurred on March 28, 2017. Sergeant Corbello drove to Florence, Arizona while he was on duty in order to handle personal affairs relating to the neighborhood dispute. He did this despite a Mesa lieutenant telling him he had to take leave to handle the matter and could not go while on duty. Mesa PD later sustained an allegation of failure to obey a direct order from a supervisor. Now, the third incident was not discovered until March 2017, but it actually took place in December of 2016. That's when Sergeant Corvello created a fictitious Facebook page using and displaying the name of a fellow Mesa PD sergeant with whom he'd been involved in a dispute. Sergeant Corvello posted photos and information on this fictitious page that clearly identified the other sergeant as being employed by Mesa PD. Sergeant Corvello also made posts and comments on the page which Mesa determined could be derogatory, disparaging, and inappropriate. Mesa conducted a criminal investigation, but the other sergeant did not wish to proceed with the prosecution. They did sustain an allegation against him, Sergeant Corvello, relating to code of conduct violations. The fourth incident occurred on June 12, 2017, when Sergeant Corvello discussed two of his previous internal affairs cases with other Mesa PD personnel, and this was in violation of admonishments he'd been given, which prohibited him from talking about the cases with unauthorized persons. So it's my understanding that Sergeant Corvello retired before all these investigations kind of finished, and so that's where we are right now, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you all might have about this case.
One last question, yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Caldwell, the fictitious website, some indication in the write-up that it was racist in nature. Is that true?
There were some statements on there that Mesa indicated could have been, if somebody was reading it, could have sort of shaded somebody that way. To think they were, I think it was speaking about persons of different sexual orientations, and I think there was a comment about like an Asian female that could have been, or that they thought was inappropriate. Yes, sir.
Any other questions? Having none, may I have a motion, please?
Paul Ehler, I'd make a motion that we initiate proceedings.
Andy LaFever, second.
We have a motion and a second. Other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to the next, Mr. Caldwell, 18-100.
Yes, sir. This case involves Mr. Mendez, formerly an officer with Goodyear Police Department. He was arrested by the Tempe Police Department on April 14, 2018, and charged with DUI and urinating in public. A concerned citizen reported the vehicle he was driving as possibly having an intoxicated driver. Tempe officer spotted the truck and saw the driver, Officer Mendez, who was off duty at the time, get out and urinate in a parking lot. When questioned, Officer Mendez identified himself as a police officer and said he did not know who had been driving. Tempe officers warned him of the ramifications of untruthfulness, and they specifically mentioned, hey, if you continue down this road, your post-certification might be affected. Officer Mendez then told them that a female had been the driver of the vehicle, and he was actually sitting in the back seat. He declined to undergo a horizontal gaze and nystagmus evaluation, again saying he was not the driver of the truck. His blood alcohol level eventually came back from the crime lab as 0.056. In a later internal affairs interview, Officer Mendez admitted he was the driver of the vehicle, had consumed alcohol over the course of the evening, and had provided false information to Tempe PD officers. He did this because he panicked and he didn't want to incriminate himself.
I'd be happy to answer any questions you all might have about this case.
Questions? Having none, may I have a motion?
Al Rodbell makes the motion to initiate proceedings.
Frank Milstead, second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Caldwell, we'll move on to 17-121.
Yes, sir. This involves former Officer Pasquarella from Mesa PD. On June 26, 2016, a female with a dog was arrested by Mesa PD officers. No one was available to care for the animal at the time. Officer Pasquarella said he would transport the dog to the Maricopa County Animal Control Facility on Rio Salado Parkway. He went in service from the call without completing any reports documenting his actions. Records from his vehicle tracking system confirm he drove to Animal Control on that night and spent a little over 2 minutes while he was there. The arrestee could not locate her dog at Animal Control after being released from jail. Officer Pasquarella later told a Mesa PD sergeant he drove to the Animal Control Facility and placed the dog in a cage or kennel outside with the understanding that an employee would collect the dog during regular business hours. Mesa PD received a formal complaint from the arrestee, and Officer Pasquarella gave four separate interviews to Internal Affairs. His description of events regarding what he had done with the arrestee's dog was different from what he previously told the Mesa sergeant. Basically, he told IA that on the night of the incident, he went to Animal Control, but their workers would not accept the dog. As he was leaving the facility, he met an older female who offered to take the dog. Officer Pasquarella gave the dog to this female, but did not get her name or any ID information for her, apparently assuming that she was a member of the staff there. Mesa PD and Maricopa County Animal Control personnel were unable to identify any employee or volunteer at the shelter who matched the description provided by Officer Pasquarella. The dog was never located, and Animal Control had no records in their system for it. Mesa PD did not make a determination on what Officer Pasquarella did with the dog. However, a Mesa PD IA lieutenant noted that, in his opinion, substantial evidence indicated Officer Pasquarella did not give the arrestee's dog to a female employee of the Animal Control facility. Officer Pasquarella claimed that the Animal Control personnel mishandled the dog and deficiencies at the shelter contributed to the situation. Mesa sustained allegations against him relating to dishonesty and to improper handling of the dog, and he was later terminated from the agency. So basically, we've got a couple different stories about what he did with the dog on that night, and because he had not documented the report like he was supposed to, that's kind of why we're in the position we're in right now. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you all might have about this case.
Questions, comments? Having none, may I have a motion, please?
Mark Downs, I make a motion to initiate proceedings.
Al Rodbell, seconds.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Caldwell.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Jacobs, good morning, sir. We're on 18-102.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, members of the board, Steve Jacobs, compliance specialist. This case involves a former Lake Havasu City police officer who, during July of this year, was dispatched to a information he received was a civil standby, so a young lady could retrieve her property out of a hotel room that was shared by her with her boyfriend. The officer arrived, came to his attention that the second party, the female was there, the male was not present, and the female had no standing in the room as she is not the one that had rented the hotel room. This officer violated department policy by injecting himself into that process and against the hotel proprietor's instruction, asked her to open the door to allow the female to get her property out. The hotel attendant finally conceded, opened the hotel room. The female went in, got property. It was later found out that she went in, stole personal property that belonged to the male occupant of the hotel room. When he was questioned about this, he provided false information, saying that he had not injected himself, that he only was only there as standby, that he did not talk to the hotel clerk. Security video was pulled, which found that he had done so. Are there any questions?
No questions. May I have a motion?
Chair Bryan, I recommend we initiate proceedings.
Andy LaFever, second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Jacob, we're on 18-116.
Yes, this involves a former Phoenix police officer who in August of last year was involved in a single vehicle accident. He struck a fixed object, failed to report the accident. His supervisors, when they started making inquiries, approached him, asked him about the damage to the vehicle. He denied knowledge of it and our knowledge of how it happened and denied having operated the vehicle when the damage occurred. He subsequently went to an internal affairs investigation, was given his notice of guarantee, and again repeated his comments that he had no knowledge of how the accident occurred. When the investigators suggested that they could probably go and find out where this accident happened and get the video footage of what happened, he came forward and said, oh, my memory has been jogged. I was driving the vehicle. I struck a pole. And then when they gave him another notice of investigation as it related to providing false information to his supervisors, he denied having provided false information to his supervisors, which the supervisors refuted that allegation. Are there any questions?
No questions. May I have a motion, please?
Alan Roddell makes the motion to initiate proceedings.
Mark Vandal, second.
The motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. Mr. Jacobs, 18-104.
Mr. Chair, I have to recuse myself.
Noted.
Yes, this involves a former Phoenix police officer. Officer Scott had retired and stayed on with the Phoenix Police Department as a reserve officer and kept his certification active. When in March, he and his wife went into Scottsdale and became involved in a confrontation with some juveniles. During this confrontation, Officer Scott did not pull his weapon, but exposed his weapon, put his hand on the butt of the weapon in a threatening manner. And the report went to Scottsdale that that person had pulled their weapon and threatened people with it. And during the investigation, it was found that he had not pulled his weapon, but the officer explained to investigators that he had done so only after being chest bumped by this other male, and that he had responded to being chest bumped. Someone had, using their phone, had recorded the incident and found that it was Officer Scott who approached the male, chest bumped him, and then took out his flat badge in a holder and shoved it in the young man's face, causing a small cut to his lip. Are there any questions?
No questions. May I have a motion?
Mark Downs, I make a motion to initiate proceedings.
Paul Ehler, second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. Mr. Ilrose. Morning, sir.
Morning,
Chairman.
Mr. Chair,
18-098, and Sheriff Daniels is recusing himself.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Michael Rose, quiet specialist here at Post. This case involves Officer Zachariah Stone, who was terminated from the Sierra Vista Police Department on July 17th of this year. On May 31st at approximately 9 o'clock a.m., while Officer Stone was backing his patrol car out of his driveway, he struck the personal vehicle of another Sierra Vista Police Department employee. Both Stone and the owner of the personal vehicle looked at both vehicles and looked at the damage to both vehicles. On June 1st, the next day, the owner of the vehicle that Stone had backed into took pictures of the damage to Stone's patrol car. Stone did not report the accident to his first-level supervisor until June 2nd. When Stone reported it to his first-level supervisor, the first-level supervisor was aware by a third party that Stone had backed into the vehicle of another employee. When Stone was expressing to the supervisor what happened, he was less than truthful as to when and how his patrol car got damaged. Stone advised his supervisors that the damage occurred on June 2nd at 8:36 p.m., and that it was caused because he backed into a plastic trash can. Also, on June 2nd, the supervisor asked Stone to fill out an official department record. Stone falsified that official record when he documented on the Sierra Vista Police Department's crash report as to how and when the damage to his patrol car occurred. Stone documented on the crash report that the damage to his patrol car occurred on June 2nd at approximately 8:36 p.m. as a result of backing into a plastic trash container. Stone, an internal investigation was then initiated. Stone was less than truthful with the investigators during the Sierra Vista Police Department's internal investigation as to why he did not notify his supervisor that he had struck another employee's personal vehicle, and also as to when and how the damage to his patrol car occurred. When the investigators confronted Stone with the fact that his story did not make sense about when and how his patrol car got damaged and the reason that he did not notify his supervisor, they said his story didn't make any sense, and Stone replied that he agreed his story did not make sense either. What had happened is Stone advised that his patrol car that he pulled out of his driveway and backed into the trash can to the investigators, and that was the story he stuck with. But in reality, and documentation by photographs, was that his patrol car was really damaged when he backed into the other employee's personal vehicle. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
No questions. May I have a motion, please?
Chair Ryan, I recommend initiate proceedings.
Frank Milstead, second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. O'Rose. Ms. Wake, good morning. We're on 18107. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Lori Waite, one of your compliance specialists. This first case is on former Officer Alcedo. He used to work for the Navajo Division of Public Safety. And on May 4th of 2018, while he was an officer with Navajo DPS, he took part in a polygraph examination for the Chino Valley Police Department in pursuit of a sworn officer position with that agency. And during that polygraph examination, Alcedo disclosed that he'd had sexual contact and intercourse on two separate occasions while working for Navajo DPS. The first incident occurred between himself and his girlfriend in his marked patrol vehicle while he was off duty. And the second incident occurred between himself and a female acquaintance in her vehicle while he was on duty. So the agency was notified by Chino Valley Police Department. Navajo DPS opened an internal affairs investigation and interviewed both the girlfriend, which was now Aicedo's wife, and the other female. Both of those women confirmed the accounts, and Officer Aicedo also confirmed both of those accounts. He resigned in lieu of termination from the agency. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Just one.
Yes, sir.
Is the Navajo Division of Public Safety also called Troopers?
They are not.
I had to say something about
it. I appreciate it.
No, sir. I think they call them officers.
Officers. It was too smooth.
Questions, comments?
So I do have a question. So,
yes, sir.
There was no denial.
No denial.
I mean, no false statements.
No
so
false statements.
So what have we done in these cases in the past? Have we initiated proceedings on these cases, or have we left up to some discretion?
Typically, you know? We've initiated on these
particular
cases on duty.
Thank you.
Anything else? We have a motion.
Well, I'll make a motion now, and Rod Bell initiate proceedings.
Andy, if you have a second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Ms. Waite, 18012.
Yes, sir. On Officer Bitsoy, formerly with the Navajo Division of Public Safety. In November of 2017, he was arrested by Navajo DPS, his agency, after he physically assaulted his live-in girlfriend, Miss DT, while she sat in their vehicle parked on the side of the road in Twin Lakes, New Mexico. Bitsoy and Miss DT were engaged in a verbal argument over the keys to the vehicle that they were in. She did not want him to drive any longer because he was highly intoxicated, so she wanted to drive the vehicle. And when he refused to acquiesce to her request, he struck her twice in the left side of her head with a closed fist, causing some injuries. She was able to walk from the scene and call 911. She was looked at by medical personnel and denied treatment. He was arrested. He was interviewed. He doesn't remember the incident that way. He claims that she assaulted him. However, no injuries could be found on Bitsoy. His case went to prosecution, and he entered into a deferred prosecution that was completed on actually October 3rd of this year, where he satisfied all of the requirements of his deferred prosecution, so the case was dismissed by the prosecutor's office. He was terminated from the agency. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? May I have a motion?
Paul Eli, make a motion. We initiate proceedings.
Alan Rodwell seconds.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Ms. Waite, we are on 18081.
Yes, sir. On Officer Dean Hadley, formerly with the Apache County Sheriff's Office, in May of this year, a woman came forward, Ms. M.H., and notified the Sheriff's Office that between April 8th and April 26th of this year, she and Officer Hadley had engaged in sexual intercourse multiple times while the officer was on duty. She alleged that Officer Hadley sent her a text picture of his genitalia also while he was in uniform. Officer Hadley was interviewed by the investigator, and initially he denied all of the allegations. But when presented with personal information, such as scars, marks, and tattoos that someone could only see if someone was nude, he then came forth and confirmed all of the allegations that Ms. M.H. had made to the Apache County Sheriff's Office, to include sending the text picture of his genitalia. He resigned in lieu of termination from the agency in May of this year. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
No questions. May I have a motion, please?
Frank Olmsted, we initiate proceedings.
Mark Bryan, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any other discussion on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And I believe we're on the last one, Mrs. Wade. 18094.
Yes, sir. Former Officer James McCall with the Apache County Sheriff's Office. On May 19th of this year at approximately 3:45 in the morning, so early morning, he's at home off duty. They don't run 24-hour cars in Apache County, so they had a suicidal subject call, so they called him at home, woke him up, and dispatched him to this call. He said he would be en route. A little over an hour later, they hadn't heard from him. He hadn't checked out at the scene or made contact with the subject, so dispatch tried to clear him on the radio. He did not answer his radio. So when they couldn't reach him, they called him again on his cell phone. And when they called him, it sounded as if they woke him up. They asked him where he was. He said he was out in the woods looking for the suicidal subject. However, the dispatcher, longtime dispatcher, felt like, I think I just woke him up. So she called the supervisor and said, hey, would you run by McCall's house and see if he is there? The supervisor responded and within 10 minutes notified her via telephone that McCall was at his home. The sergeant then went out and handled the suicidal subject call. He met with the individual at the individual's residence. The individual was fine. He was actually crying wolf. He just wanted somebody to talk to. So the sergeant was able to clear the call an hour and 46 minutes after the original call for service. Officer McCall never went back home, never went out of service, so technically his CAD report shows that he was on duty at the time he was dispatched at 3:45, and then he never went home. One of the very next things that they heard from him was at 7:18 in the morning when he said he was out at the subject's residence but had not located him, and he asked for an attempt to locate on the subject, even though the call had been cleared hours before. When they decided to start an investigation into this, they asked him to come in for an interview, and he promptly resigned. He was not interviewed. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
No questions. May I have a motion?
Mark Downs, I made a motion to initiate proceedings.
Al Morgul seconds.
Motion second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. And Director Lane, any future agenda items?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, in my most senatorial fashion and for the record, there is someone here I want to make a special thanks to, a very important person in my life who's been there in both the good times and the tough times in this career, almost half of my career, and Ann Harwood is here today, and I love you, Ann, and thank you for being such a great part of my life. That's all I had.
Very nice. If nothing else, this meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much.